telling you about the Tsar. But now they couldn't, back then they couldn't make lye soap until it was stiff. But now I know how to make lye soap.
And you wouldn't need to.
No, but there's a lot of people does make it, or did, I'll say did, because they don't, ain't nobody that hard up now. But you can make it and hit it as pretty and white as ever you laid your eyes on. It didn't burn your hands up. You see, they just didn't know enough to not put enough, too much lye into something back then. And you took grease or old meat or anything, you know, you had grease in to make the lye, or make the soap.
Is it good soap if you can get it without too much lye in it?
Yeah, so you can wash just, of course you could with your hands. I did try to wash in the washing machine with none. Imagine he'd eat about his washing machines up now. Did your hands anyhow.
But you were saying about these ashes, would you use a different color ashes to say get a different color soap, or would only...
They always used hickory wood, as far as I can remember. They'd burn hickory wood in the fireplace and save the ashes, you see, till they got enough. And I don't know whether any other soap, anything else would make it or not.
But what do you use the white ashes?
That's what I'm talking about.
That's hickory.
Well, now they ain't exactly white,
but close, yeah, to, very close to it.
More the color of that old flue there. And I started to tell you something else. What? That's hickory bark.
Did you?
Me and my husband bottomed that.
You bottomed it?
Yeah. We made the chair and we bottomed it. And first one we ever had of them, though. We made the chairs, but we got a man on Ripshin to bottom them first out of hickory wood. Hickory bark. Not hickory wood, hickory bark. We bottomed chairs with the oak splits. And the way you done it, my grandson said a while back, said, Granny, I'm going to get you to show me that while you can. I said, well, okay, bring a piece down here and show me. You get a piece about hardly as big as that stovepipe, and you begin cutting it, busting it in the center, right on down, until you get it as thick as, as wide as you want to split them things you're sitting on there. And then you took and split it in the middle again, and you had to do this way. You had to know how to do it. Now, you had to pull one just like the other, and you'd pull it out, you see. So, they said, you get it thin. But now, after we learned how to make them, he'd get the bark like that and run it through a planer and take the old rough bark off. And the other man barked it, or put in their bark off.
Did it take you long? You do have to wet it before you can work with it, don't you?
No. You get it and
you want it green when you're working
with
it?
Yeah, you have to get it green and keep it, you know, just keep some for it stays damp. But now, if it gets old, you do have to wet the hickory bark, because I believe there's a bundle in the basement now. But I just never have to throw it out.
What would you call the piece of furniture over there? That all that my stuff is on?
Divanet. Or a couch.
Or would there be another term you use for it? Do you ever use sofa?
Yes.
So, if you had a room, one like that, say, sit on the
couch.
Okay, but if you were using the other word, you'd say sit on the
sofa.
Okay. And what do you call a piece of furniture in a bedroom that has drawers and you can put clothes in it?
Chest.
And how about, say, if it's